and thankful to be here and hopefully share a little bit what God has for you tonight. So I just want to ask you a question, though. I want to start out this way. I said, if you could ask God for one thing and only one thing, what would you ask God for? One thing, all right? And the one thing you ask can't be, well, I would like some more things, right? It's not the one thing. It's like asking for more wishes, right? If you could ask for one thing, that's what would you ask him for? As I was talking to somebody or asking different people this one question, I got a variety of different answers. Well, one thing, what could that one thing be? You know what? I want a lifetime supply to Chick-fil-A. All right, chicken sandwiches for life, right? Christian chicken, that's what somebody said. Someone said, if I could just win the lottery. And I said, you know, I'm going to pray that you do that because you have to tithe. And, you know, you have to tithe on what you get there. You know, somebody said, well, man, I would eliminate cellulite, you know, or different things. And you're like, well, that's kind of petty. And, you know, I get that. And so, but if you think about it, what would you ask God for, that one thing? You could ask him for, you know, someone said, man, I have a loved one that's sick that I would love for God to heal, or I would have a lost son or a lost daughter that I'd love to see restored. And so, you know, as we take the next few moments, I just kind of want to spend a few moments just asking God, what would be that one thing? You know, maybe it's anxiety. Maybe there's things that are happening in your world that, you know, God, what could it be? What would the one thing that you could do for me? And so, again, and that's not what it's about. I just think about that because it's an interesting question, and it's an important one because it talks about what we value most and what we would ask God. It kind of reveals what we value most and where we want to seek him. And so, I think about David in the Bible and King David, and we're going to spend our time talking about him tonight. And, you know, David was one of those guys that, you know, the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And David had some missteps along the way, if you know anything about King David and some of the choices and the decisions that he made throughout his life. And when the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart, that should give us hope, right? Because, man, if David was a man after God's own heart, I didn't hear near the stuff he's done. You know, man, there's hope for me. But the truth is that, you know, many times he could have, he would do things to avoid conflict, or he would jump into things, or he would run away from things. And so he wanted to please God with his righteous living. And again, he gave into different things, you know. And again, the most famous, you know, compromising was when he failed with Bathsheba. And then he lied about it and lost a son over it and committed murder and all those things. And you're like, if God could love him and call him a man after God's own heart. And then again, I think about David again when he was running from his son and wanting to kill him and all the situations. And so for the next few moments, I just want to talk to you a little bit about how can one thing we ask of God and one thing that we desire is to seek after him and to dwell in his presence. That's what David said. And I think that's the one thing that we want to be challenged with and to seek him, because you never end up close to God accidentally. I think about David. David wrote the Psalms, and he did so many things, but he always talked about that desire, that one thing that he wanted to do was be near to God. And it wasn't by accident. He was intentional. You know, we don't just stumble into it. You know, I've been in ministry for a long time, and I've never just got close to God accidentally. I've never got close to my wife accidentally. They're intentional relationships. It couldn't have been. My wife's name is Tamara, and unfortunately, she can't be here tonight. And I can tell stories about her that she's not here, right, Jimmy? I can talk about her, and we're not recording this. No, I'm just kidding. But the truth is like, man, we're intentional. We have to know each other and know what it is. And it's the same thing with God. God desires for us to know him. Because again, I've never had anybody tell me, man, I was just binging Netflix, scrolling down my Instagram, and all of a sudden, I was full of the Word of God, and I started quoting the Word powerfully. It just doesn't happen that way, right? You're not in traffic driving down the road, and you're yelling at all the other drivers, because I've been around some of you, and I know that's what happens. Road rage is a real thing, and you're not just yelling at the next driver to you, and then all of a sudden, man, you just start feeling like you've got the fruits of the Spirit. Man, right now I got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, patience, kindness, patience, kindness, self-control, right? No, it doesn't happen. There's no such thing as intimacy without intentionality. And so you'll never be close to God accidentally. It takes us intentional. So in Psalms chapter 27 in verse 4, David just said this. He said, "One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek." This only do I seek. He didn't say, "One thing I seek from the Lord, that I may be the happiest person that ever lived." He never said that. He never said, "One thing I seek from the Lord, that I may have more money than anybody else alive." He didn't say that. He didn't say the one thing that I want from God, and that's a bigger place with better countertops. David never said that. "I want a bigger palace. You know, I just, man, the grand is not doing it for me. I really need to get to the courts." He's never made those statements, but this is what he said. He said, "One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for these next few moments. God, that you would help us just to seek you. And not for any of the benefits or any of those things, but God, to be in your presence and to seek you as the psalmist wrote. God, that we could just gaze on the beauty of you and to seek you in all things. And God, that you would speak to our hearts tonight. And maybe there's things that we're challenged with, or maybe there's things that we're fighting. But God, tonight, I just ask that you would speak to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And that was David. David said that. "The one thing I ask is just to be in the presence of God. I just want to be in your presence." That's what he said. And so again, that one thing, that close to him. So if you want to be close to God, you will never be close to God accidentally. We have to be intentional in our relationship. I mean, this world is so crazy right now. And I just think about the news from this last weekend and all the things that are happening. And man, if there's never a time that we should be drawing close to God, is now. And there's never a time in our nation that we need to get close to God. He said, "If my people who are what? Who are called by name, my name, will humble themselves and pray." And that's what I think when we pray, we seek God, we seek his face, we seek what he wants to do. And so we have to make that a priority. And so if we want to value that, we have to make the decision to prioritize that time with God. We make that decision. We pre-decide, so to speak. Hey, whenever things are going to come at me, I'm going to make sure that I'm close to God. And I'm going to make that decision up front that I'm going to be close to God in everything that I do. And so again, I think about my life and I think about me personally. And do I always get it right? Good thing Tamara's not here. No, I don't. You know, there's times that we mess up and there's times, but man, the one thing that I want to be like that heart of David. I want to seek God with all that I am. And so I just want to give you a few things tonight and maybe help us maybe understand what that is. So, and make that a priority. Why do we want to prioritize that intimacy with God? Well, number one is this, man, I am desperate for God's presence. I am desperate for his presence. I need his comfort. I need his strength. I need his power. I need his wisdom. I need his word directing my steps. I'm desperate for his presence. And even driving in the middle of road rage, turn off the radio. And maybe that moment, God, I really need your presence right now because that person over there. But no, it's seeking him. I'm desperate for God's presence. David said this. He goes, "The one thing I ask, I want to be in that presence of God." Because again, over and over again in his life, even when he had blessings of running the kingdom, he was desperate for the presence of God. In Psalms chapter 63 and verse 1, and commentators will tell you that this, when he wrote this Psalms, it was actually the time that he was running from his son. His son was actually, man, gathered armies around, and he was seeking to kill David. His son was after going to kill his father. And again, I just think, man, imagine if your son wanted to come after you in that way. And this is what he said. He said, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and I beheld your power and your glory because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you." Man, I love the song, 1,000 hallelujahs. Man, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to seek you in the midst of everything that's going on. In the midst of my son trying to kill me, God, it doesn't matter. None of that matters because what matters now is I've decided I want to be in your presence above all else. It doesn't matter what is going on around me because that was a desperate move. He says, "I thirst for you. I long for you." And the Bible talks about the reality that we can actually, I love the phrase when we talk about that, he calls us friend. that we're a friend of God. And when he calls us that, man, I hope that when you're friends, they're your friends for a reason. You know them. You spend time with them. You know what they like. You know what they don't like. And sometimes you don't want to be around them, but man, there's times that you're like, man, God calls us friend. And how powerful is that? And again, I think about when David wrote those things, it was personal and he was desperate. And that's what the prayer, I need you, God, today, my very being. And so again, I think that's what we have to do. We have to be people that look to God and seek his presence in everything that we do. And so just like David and just like me, whether you know it or not, you're desperate for God. You're desperate for God. Sometimes we look in other ways, but out of our desperation for God, we're trying to fill it in other ways. And God's saying, man, this is the only hole that can be filled is with me. That's what God is saying. But we seek other things, and we seek after those things, and we need to look to him to fill those voids. You need the power of God to change to change in you what you cannot change. And so again, sometimes we think about, man, there's things that are happening in my life. Pastor, you don't know what's going on. You don't know. I mean, why would I want to do that? Well, I think that as we are desperate for God and we seek after him, I think that we have those moments. Actually, I know we have those moments where that clarity comes in and, God, man, I don't understand what's going on right now in my world, but I know that I can trust you. Right. I know that I have hope in you. I don't want to be desperate for you in those things. And so again, we talk about being intentional and passionate about those things. So David said, man, I am desperate for God's presence. And then he said, I am desperate for God's word. How do you get to know God? How do you get to know who he is, his character and his nature? Man, I love this book. I love the word of God. And there's, man, every life circumstance, every situation, God gives us direction. And he gives us power we have to look to. I love what David said in Psalms 19. He said, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Again, the instructions of the Lord, man, they're clear. He gives us insight. When we have difficult times, I hate what's happening with things in our world. They're saying, you know what? The Bible just needs to be updated. You know, it's not working for me. I need to update it. And I'm like, man, this book has stood the test of time. And this book has survived a lot more than what we're trying to put it through right now. And I can tell you that this is God-breathed. This is the inspirational word of God. God spoke through the writers so that you and I would have a personal relationship and know God through his word. Why would we want to change that? Because his word is true. The instructions of the Lord, they're perfect. They revive the soul. Man, and that's what we have to look to his word and that love for is God's word. It'll do what you need it to do. It'll give you whatever you need to receive. Man, when you're sad and hurting, God's word encourages you and it builds your faith. When you're confused, God's word said, it's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Man, when you're confused and you're distracted and you're frustrated, God's word will have the insight. And again, I think about these times when you look at his word and maybe you're dealing with anxiety and you're frustrated with things that are going on in your world and you're just like, God, I don't understand. And can I tell you in those moments to know God's word and to quote his word? If you're at 2 a.m. in the morning, which happens to me every once in a while, actually happens a lot, staring at the ceiling and all of a sudden anxiety and things begin to grip you. You know what? I just start quoting the word of God and you start looking at it. What does it say? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation with prayer and petition, I make it my request known to God. And the peace of God, right? The peace of God is what the scripture says. And then it goes on to say, which transcends or surpasses or goes beyond any of our understanding. And there's times that you're in the middle of a storm and you're like, God, I don't know why I have peace right now, but somehow in the midst of this mess and in the midst of everything I'm walking through, I have your peace because you say that your word, which transcends all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind and my soul in Christ Jesus. When you're tired and you're getting weary, what does the Bible say? It says, do not grow weary in doing good, for at proper time you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Whenever you're afraid and things are coming at you, man, you begin to preach to yourself. You begin to preach to yourself. Man, there's times that if I'm driving down the road or I'm by myself and sometimes the radio's off and people will think I'm singing. I'm preaching to myself. You know, my God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what? of sound mind. Man, it's in the book. It's in the book. That's where the comfort and the hope comes from, to be desperate for his word. That's what, no matter what happens, you tell yourself the word of God. The Lord God is with me, therefore I will not be shaken. You see, just as plainly as I can, I need to be desperate for God's presence. I need his strength, his wisdom, and his comfort, and his power. I'm desperate for his word. And then the third thing is, man, I'm going to be desperate for his church. Desperate for his church. Man, I think about this. Obviously, you're like, well, pastor, you know, you pastor a church. Why wouldn't you be desperate for his church? Because you know what? The church is us. We the people. And we need to be desperate to be in fellowship and to encourage and to build one another up. And you know, you're like, pastor, you know we're in church. Absolutely, because you're desperate for church and you love being here on a Wednesday night and you love to fellowship with one another and you love to be around each other because you get that encouragement, because you love those things. I love what the psalmist said. He goes, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. He said, let's go to church together. He didn't say, I rejoice to those who said, let's sleep in today, you know, or, ooh, it's going to be late. I'm just going to stay home. No, it's a priority. It's important for us to be there. He goes, I rejoice as we can get together because God is good. He is worthy of our praise. And again, man, we all deal with things. We all have frustration. And man, I can always tell you that I can walk into church and I can see a smiling face and be encouraged. Or I can see a sad face and try to be encouraging. You know, that's what we're called to do, life together. I need the body of Christ, and I need you, whether you know it or not. We're desperate for each other. We're desperate for a church. I was thinking pretty, you know, a few years ago when we went through COVID and we had to shut down our church for a little bit, as a lot of churches had to do, and we shut down for 10 weeks. And those were really long weeks. And every week I'm like, is this the week we can open? Because I really miss being around our people. I really miss being around people of God. And I'm tired. You know, I don't want people looking at me through a screen. And I get it. That's part of the world we're in. And we're online too. But it's just like, man, there's something about being next to each other and being able to hug or shake hands or a pat on the back or somebody to cry with or somebody to laugh with. Because we're his church. I think about my life. You know, my life has been centered around church for a long time. I'll never forget my parents got saved when the Jesus movement hit in the early 70s. I don't want to tell you how old I am, Jimmy. Don't tell anybody. But I was thinking about this. You know, when the Jesus movement hit in the early 70s, my mom was going to a Catholic church, I grew up in a town, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and she was attending this Catholic church. I was 4 years old at the time, and the Jesus movement came through, and the charismatic movement hit the Catholic church in the early 70s, and my mom was radically saved. And see, my dad grew up in a Baptist church, and he was such a devout Baptist that when he asked my mom to marry him, she said, the only way I'll marry you is if you convert to Catholicism. And he was such a good Baptist, he said, absolutely. I'm all in. And so when my mom got saved, all of a sudden my dad got saved, and I'm the youngest of five kids, and all of a sudden my brothers and sisters got saved, and all of a sudden we're in church, and we're around other people, and we're being encouraged one for another. And I watched my parents transform, and I watched what happened. It wasn't the church, obviously, that saved them, but I'm telling you, it was the church that rallied around them, and they rallied around them, and all of a sudden they were encouraged, and their faith began to grow. I think about those things about me when I was called into ministry. My father passed away when I was young, and we had this little charismatic church that I grew up in, and about 30, 40 people on a Sunday morning. And shortly after my dad passed away, I was 12 years old, and we're in a room, and we're sitting there, and the guys we're praying, and I felt like God was speaking to this young 12-year-old boy, and said, God's got something for you. And I stood up and I said, I want somebody to pray for me. I don't know what it means, but I want somebody to pray for me. And it was in that church that that group of people gathered around, put their hands on me and began to pray for me. And I felt God say, you're going to be in ministry one day. You're going to be doing things for me. And as a 12-year-old, I said, God, man, I'm kind of young for this, right? And he said, no, hey, I got a hand on you, and God, I'm going to do some things in you. And I thought about, as I was going through high school and those things, I kind of ran from God. I went to college and really ran from God. And that's a whole nother sermon, Pastor Mark. We don't have time for that tonight, but nor do you want to hear those stories. But I'll never forget that it was a call back to God's people. and being involved. We're understanding, man, I got to get around some people. I was in San Diego, California. I was going to college. I wasn't living for God. And I was far from God, and my whole attitude was, God, I know you called me when I was young, but man, if you're going to use me, then you're just going to have to use me sometime. And God listened to my prayer, because I'll never forget, on one dark night in San Diego, California, I was in my room, and we had deadbolts on our doors, because the people that we lived with, we had a house with five guys, and me and another guy were the only guys that were involved in drugs. So what they would do is they'd kick down our doors and steal our stuff and go sell it to buy drugs. I was in a great place, Jimmy. I mean, that was just, woo. But I'll never forget, I'm in my room and my hands on my desk, and I'm like, God, I don't know what to do next. And the closest I've ever come to hearing the audible voice of God was that night. I said, Marty, playtime's over. It's time to go do what I've called you to do. Within 2 weeks, I packed up my little Ford Escort GT with a U-Haul trailer behind it, and I was back in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and moved in with my mom, which every person loves to do. And I, you know what it was? I had a stepbrother and a stepsister said, Marty, why don't you come to church with us? And I said, absolutely. We went on a Friday night, because that was when their youth group met, on a Friday night. And I sat on one side of the room, and I had a young lady walk up to me and says, you're sitting on the wrong side of the room. And I'm like, what do you mean? No, this is the girl's side. I go, well, that's the side I want to sit on. And said, no. So girls sat on one side and guys sat on the other side. And I started making connection with people. Where was it at? It was in church. And I got a youth pastor there. His name was Daryl Kelly. And Daryl began to invest in me. And all of a sudden, a young lady walked in, and she had on a mini skirt, a jean mini skirt, and a pink polo with the collar up. And I said, she's kind of cute. And I met my wife. And we've been married now 33 years in August, and we've got two incredible kids. And just so you know, I'm going to be in granddad in February. How crazy is that? But you know what? It happened at church. And I remember being in a revival at church, a two-week revival. Who does that? You know, 2 weeks, every night for 2 weeks. And I'll never forget being in this place, and we're down on the altars and just seeking God. And God reaffirmed his call on my life. Where did it happen? In church. You know, and all of a sudden we step out and we do things, and where I've been encouraged and where I've been uplifted, or where I've been able to uplift, is around the people of God. We need to be desperate for his church. We need to be desperate for his church. I love what the psalmist said in Psalms 92. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. Man, the righteous are planted. They're rooted in the house of the Lord. That's where we flourish. We need each other. This is where we belong. And so again, I tell you that we need to be desperate for his presence and desperate for his word and desperate be around his people. And I think about this as, you know, as I just really felt that I needed to bring this word tonight. Was that, are you desperate for God? Are you desperate for his presence? Are you desperate for his word? Are you desperate for his church? Because sometimes we have to maybe reevaluate ourselves. It's like, man, you know what? I don't really seek God like I need to seek him. You know, man, church is okay. Everyone's like, you know, the average attender at church now, I believe, is one every 6 weeks is the average attendance. And so we're all above average. I'm not speaking to you. I know that, you know, because you're here tonight. But again, I think about that when we talk about, I started out tonight just asking you, if you could ask God for one thing, what would that one thing be? Is it what the psalmist said? Man, to be in the presence of God, that I might dwell in his house. May I gaze in his presence. Because I tell you, man, I think the one thing that God could do for us and to realize that he's that to be desperate for him, and the answer is, God, I just need you. I just need you. A lot of times, especially in the world that we're in right now, people look to God and just say, man, if I serve to God, what's in it for me? And it's just like, who cares? Man, what God has done for us, what he did for us, that he provided a way of salvation through his son, Jesus. I love what the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. That's what he gave for us and everything that he gave us. How could I not want to serve him? How could I not want to seek his presence? How could I not because of everything that he's done for me. We're so undeserving, but man, I could just say, God, I want to be in your presence. I need your presence. I need your work correcting, convicting, and strengthening me. I need your love through the people in your church. You see, every single moment you are desperate for him. I don't know about you, but I want to decide. I want to make that decision before anything ever comes at me. It's God, I'm going to be desperate for you. Amen. I'm going to be desperate for your presence. I'm going to be desperate for you to fill me with your spirit and to walk in those things. I want to be desperate for you. One thing I ask and I would seek, and that's to dwell in your presence. Is that your desire? Is your desire, God, I want to seek you. I need you in my life. I'm going to decide. I'm not waiting for an emergency. I'm not waiting for something to happen. I want to be close to him now. Amen. Man, I get so frustrated when people come to me and they're like, well, Pastor, we've done everything that we can do. I guess we should pray. Like, wow, why don't we start there? Why don't we start there? Why don't we look for the God who created you? Why don't we look to the one that sees you and knows everything about you? Why don't we look to the one who can speak to the sickness? Why don't we look to the one that can speak to the relationship? Why don't we look to the one that can speak healing with one breath of his word and it happen? Instead of the last resort. Well, I guess that's it. You know, and it's like, no, we start there. We start there. I want to be close to him because whether you know it or not, listen to me, you are desperate for God. You are desperate for God. Recognize that and seek after him. One thing I ask and I would seek to dwell in your presence. That's what we're called to do, is to seek after him. So Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that we can be in this place in your love and your grace. God, I thank you. I'm so thankful that you are everything that we need. And so, God, I just pray, Lord, that as we are in this place today, that you would give us a heart and a desire to seek you and to look for your presence, to have that intimacy with you, God, to seek you in all things. And God, I just pray, Lord, that if there's those here, maybe they haven't been seeking you, or maybe they've been neglecting your word, God, that you would just begin to, man, just reignite that fire and that passion to be in your presence, to reignite that fire and that passion for your word, to reignite that fire and that passion to be in the presence of your people. Because God, we're here to encourage one another and to build one another up. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would be people of God, that we would seek you in all things. It's in the precious name of Jesus I pray. Amen.